Hello, and welcome to the sweaty bosom of the Best for Film audio review, bringing you epic film knowledge through the power of having ears. Wonderful. So first up is Alice in Wonderland. It's Tim Burton, Lewis Carroll, and Disney, three cinematic powerhouses with so much hype, makes Obama's election campaign look like your nan's car boot sale. It grossed $116 million on its first weekend in the US alone, and considering the amount of money cinemas are charging to see it, that means at least seven people have watched it already. Well done them. So basically, it's been 13 years since Alice first had a little wander round Wonderland, and when we meet her this time, she's 19, with a marriage proposal from a man with a horrendous face. Does she want to marry him? No. He has a horrendous face, but hopefully a tension-breaking rabbit appears with a shiny clock, and Alice follows him gleefully back into Wonderland. Only this time, it is not the world she visited the first time around, as the tyrannical Red Queen has taken control, turning the once colourful, plant-singing and dancing place into a desolate wasteland where everything is far more 3D than it should be. And though she's been here before, Alice remembers it all only as a dream she had as a girl, and so has to go to all the drink me, eat this, where's my key, grow here, lost my clothes, oh dear, all that stuff she's the first time around, which is would frankly be stressful enough, but to make it even worse, it turns out she's the only one who can save Underland from the Red Queen. Jesus, that's just a bad day. So it sounds interesting enough, but the problem is it's actually very boring. The thing is, we've seen all of this before in previous incarnations of the Wonderland story, and the whole point of the Lewis Carroll Wonderland is that it's a place that makes no sense. It's full of puzzles and riddles and questions and amazing paradoxes that seem to fold in themselves to kill your brain. Burton, or perhaps writer Linda Wolferstan, decides instead to do the opposite of this and gives you all the answers from the beginning with no mystery left whatsoever. It's a Rivita of a story. For instance, at the very beginning, Alice is told by the Tweedle Twins and the Dormouse and other famous people in pixelated suits that she's the one prophesied to slay the Jabberwocky and restore order to Wonderland. Thanks. And just in case you don't hear that properly, there's a picture of her doing it. And in case you don't see that properly, and you see Alice stab the Jabberwocky in the face with a massive sword. Thanks, Tim Burton, for the ending right at the beginning. Should I just have a little sleep, a little sleepy now for the rest of the film? Yeah, great. Same thing is, there's no mystery from that point. It's just a dull 3D plod to an inevitable conclusion. Johnny Depp does the thing that he did with Black Sparrow and with Jack Sparrow and Willy Wonka, but this time he's wearing contact lenses, so that's intense. And Helena Bonham Carter unfortunately steals her entire character from Miranda Richardson in Blackadder, and she has a big head. However, worth watching is the CGI Cheshire Cat, who is freaking fabulous, and so, you know, cat-wise, you get your money, which is good. But all in all, the CGI delights cannot save a shoddy, shoddy plot, and it's actually quite difficult to believe this is a Tim Burton work, seeing as his work in the past has been so incredible. Tim, this is a message from the universe. Curly, funny little trees and shadows under your character's eyes and your wife's massive head doesn't make a film interesting. If that rabbit came bopping along our way, I'm afraid we'd have to settle for being Mrs. Horrendous Face. Sorry. So, yes, that's our review, and if you'd like to check back next week, we'll be reviewing The Blind Side, which comes out in England on the 26th of March. Will Sandra deserve that Oscar? Who knows? Check back again. Bye-bye.